3, 2, 1.
Backed by popular demand, Friday's endless apps.
The people have spoken.
You want an endless choice of endless apps for just $10.
You got them.
Mozzarella sticks? Endless. Boneless buffalo wings?
Yep.
Endless. Loaded potato skins? Endless. Your choice, your call.
You're welcome.
For a limited time, endless choice of endless apps. $10.
At Fridays.
At participating restaurants for a limited time. While supplies last, other restrictions apply.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on Love That VoiceOver, where we explore the people and projects behind the microphone. Brought to you by the talented voiceover artist, Rebecca Michaels-Haw. So I'm talking to Kay Best, the astounding and phenomenal Kay Best. And you can find out about her at her website, kaybest.com, or on Twitter, at Kay Best, K-A-Y-B-E-S-S. Welcome back, Kay.
Hello. Thank you.
We've been talking about the industry and the aspects of the industry and things that have changed. We did mention a little bit about how voice acting became part of your life. It was that Santa Barbara moment. Let's talk about how you've had to run a business. You know, one of the things that people struggle with a lot and that our listeners ask questions about a lot is, you know, kind of the less artistic side, let's say, and the business side, which can be artistic in the marketing sense and the promotional sense. But how has it been for you, having gone through these phenomenal changes in terms of the industry itself, to keeping your business running well and living through these changes? Because that's actually pretty decent.
Well, again, when I started, it was a little bit by happenstance, in that I had left college early, and looking back on it, it was like the third day of my junior year at USC, and I just had this sort of overwhelming sense that I had to just get off campus and away from these people. And it was so, because it was sort of a conservatory approach, and so it was the same 20 some people that I was in class with all this time, and but it was sort of like, I gotta get out of here. And so
you were feeling trapped.
I was totally. And I left. I never went back. Right.
Wow.
And in retrospect, I was having a panic attack. And I think had I known that, I would have been like, I could have more reoriented myself to going back to school. But I didn't. I didn't know that, and I didn't reorient. And it was one of those things that was likely providential, in the sense that then a few weeks later picked up a Dramalogue magazine and saw a workshop, a voiceover work, one day voiceover workshop. And I went to it. There was a casting director. She recorded us on reel to reel. And then she took the tape home, and she called me on Monday and said, I think you'd be good at this. You should take a class. And that was my intro to Tom Pinto. So I took a class with Tom. And after one class, he said, you should make a demo. I made a demo. I sent it out to three agencies. I got an agent. And in a month, I had my first job.
Awesome.
And it was like this trajectory. So out of something that was so perplexing to me on an emotional level, sort of came my career.
Yeah.
You know, but
that happens.
Yeah. And I say that as background, because when I started, there was, again, this paradigm of what you need is your SAG card and an agent. And if you don't have those two things, you can't work. Right.
Right.
And so there was that sense, that old school sense of your agent is responsible for your career.
Right.
Your agent gets you work. And I did have that experience. That turned out for me to be true, that with an agent, with my union, that I got work, and that is the only avenue through which I got work. And so I didn't feel like I was in control of my business.
Okay.
I felt like I was just the actor, sort of
following steps.
Just kind of following the lead of the people who knew better than I did, and who, you know, who were, you know, I was just the actor.
Right.
You know, I wasn't the director of my life.
Right.
I was just the actor in it.
Right.
And so that was a slow shift,
yeah,
you know, to where I am now, to, and all of that paradigm shifting that you mentioned about the internet and blah, 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 and more people and, you know, voice bank and all that kind of stuff, you know, which has brought me here to this place of like, well, how do you manage your career, young lady? You know, how are you? how are you going to continue this when
your own mom inside you is talking to you.
Exactly.
The mother of ourselves.
Exactly. How are you going to manage in this new paradigm, right?
Yeah.
And so again, it isn't that I'm at the beginning of that. It's just that I'm finding my sea legs, right? And
yeah.
the realization that I am actually at the helm of this ship. And I am
awesome.
The one responsible for the work that I get, for the relationship that I have with my agents. And in dealing with my agents and working with my agents, realizing that we work together, you know, that we require each other and that we require each other's input into what the goals are and what the possibilities are and the path that we will travel together. And again, that's like been a kind of a fairly recent aha for me. So how I do that, I don't know. I look around and I watch other people and I see what they do and I think, huh, could I do that? Could I incorporate that? What do I need to do?
Perfect.
At the core of it, though, is a willingness to learn, is a willingness to step out and say, you know what, I like that area of voiceover. I don't know anything about it, so I'm going to take a class. And it doesn't matter. I've been in this a long time. That does not exclude me from the need to continue to learn and to seek out the expertise of others,
awesome.
even if those others are my peers.
Right. Because we have different areas of expertise. I mean, you know, everybody kind of knows Pat Fraley in a way, I'm sure, who's listening. If you don't, you're in a minority, I think, because in this case, Pat has done a really good job of embracing, from what I can see, the new paradigm and reaching out to people and creating fans, you know, and students online. So that's definitely how I came into contact with him myself. So everything is really cool what you're saying, because what you're expressing is something I think a lot of people who shift careers and get into voiceover need to hear in a way too. There are a lot of people who are new to voiceover, just like you're going to be new to gaming, because they came from some other 20-year career that now they're jumping in because somebody told them they had a good voice, or because they're more, you know, they're more further down the road than that. They know they have a decent voice, et cetera, and they're moving it forward. And so it will be really nice to hear these words, because we can always reinvent ourselves. We're like Madonna. No.
we're going to rule the world.
You know? But it's important, because it's a great example of how even within the industry, we can do this, and it's a great example for people who are entering the industry from radio, you know, from a 20-year career doing DJs, because there's hardly any DJs anymore. You know, they want to know, I want to still do this. What do I do? Voiceover, you know?
Right.
And it's all helpful.
Right.
It's all helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. I just wanted to give you some background info. This is my VO Passion Project. It's my way to give back to the VO community, which has given me so much. So many fabulous people have helped me, given me advice, mentored me. So I want to take this moment to thank you for listening, because I can't even believe it. But as of this point, with 2 years running, the show has gotten over 75,000 downloads. 75,000 downloads. Thank you so much. I really am thrilled that you're so engaged. I'd like to know what you enjoy, how you're listening. I want to connect on social media and talk about, you know, whatever. So on Twitter, you can find the show @LoveThatVO. @LoveThatVO. Follow me. Let me know you're a listener. I'll follow you back. It'd be great to have a conversation about whatever. On Facebook, it's two places. There's a page called Love That Voiceover and a Facebook group by the same name. So come hang out with us. Tell me what you're thinking. And please do subscribe and rate Love That Voiceover on iTunes and Blog Talk. If you want to receive show summaries per guest with links to each episode based on that one guest, then sign up for the newsletter. It's Love That Voiceover's newsletter. Go to lovethatvoiceover.com and enter your lovely email. It's really obvious how to do it. One last thing. It's voiceover improvisation. You've probably heard about it. You might have fears. You might have joys. You might have complete wild abandon. That's fantastic. Well, back in 2013, I created Love That Improv VO. I was really lonely, and I wanted some VO playmates live to do voiceover improv. Just like the stage in-person improv stuff, but I adapted it for audio only because nobody out there was doing it, and I had to have it, so I made it myself. So come play with me. Come play with us doing voiceover improvisation online. Probably at least 100 VO peeps have tried some aspect of it. People basically just don't know about it yet. Check it out. LoveThatImprovVO.com. Or if that's too hard, just VOImprov.com and check it out. And follow on Twitter at VOImprov. Thanks. Thanks for indulging me. Back to the show. And we're back. So we were chatting a little bit during the break about pivotal moments and thinking about what things have really been important for Kay and how she has seen things. And she wanted to talk about agents and how that is really creating some good points of reflection. I'm going to toss it to you.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, I think probably for a lot of people, agents are a kind of a conundrum, if you will, in the sense that we think, you know, if you're from a particular area, you had a relationship with agents and the necessity of having them in order to work in a particular level in voiceover. And then if you're new to voiceover or sort of in the newer paradigm, the fact that how do you get an agent? And with the amount of work that's available out there through other mediums, do you really need an agent to have a career? I think there are people who have kind of proven that you don't need one. And then you have to ask yourself, what is it that you're looking for your career? Because if you're looking to earn a living and you're looking to put food on your table and keep a roof over your head, and you find that you get work on your own, you've cultivated a business for yourself without an agent, I say, keep doing that because it's really hard to get the ear of an agent in major markets, and the competition is so fierce. And even I know fantastically brilliant voice actors who don't work anymore.
Really?
So it isn't. Oh yeah, and the talent pool is so vast in the major cities that, you know, if you're working in Topeka, Kansas, and you're earning a living, oh my goodness, you know, good on ya. And that's fantastic, and recognize how rare and wonderful that is. But for my own experience with agents, as it relates to who's in control of my career and what's the role of an agent in your life, in your voiceover life, as I said, I came kind of from old school stuff where agents are pivotal, and I still believe that to be true.
Just to jump in a second, there is that Hollywood stereotype that we learned from the movies, which is more like the on-screen camera actor, but it's that idea of, I'm going to show you the way, honey, you know, with the cigar and everything. And
yeah. And in a lot of ways they do, because they have entree to clients and stations and TV studios and all that stuff. That's all very true. I mean,
they have the relationships and the credibility to open doors for people if they want to put their neck out for those people.
Yeah. I think that the question that I hear so often is, I don't know. How do I talk to my agent? I feel like I'm, you know, I don't want to talk to them about work, but I don't want to waste their time and tell them about my, you know, that kind of thing. And how do you establish? Yeah, right. How do you establish a relationship with your agent so that, you know, you stay on the radar?
That's a great question, because even I struggle with that, because I feel like I'm one in a thousand of them. And I just spoke with Jeffrey Umberger, and actually there was a question which was interesting, because it's in my boat too. Sometimes you do a lot of auditions and you don't book, and you think your agent must hate you, but they keep sending you auditions and you're not sure what the hell.
Well, and you know, you never know if you're in the top three, right?
Right.
I mean, which is a fantastic, even though you know, you may not book it, but if you're in the top three, that your agents know that.
Right.
And they know that you're a contender, even though you may not be booking, right? They comprehend that you're a contender. contender.
Right.
And any good agent is going to listen, and they've got fantastic ears, and they know what they're listening for, and they know when reads aren't right, and so they know if you're good and you're turning in good auditions. They're not, you know.
Sometimes it's just a matter of the voice and the quality of the voice and the end client, you know, liking that versus somebody else, or not liking it because it reminds them of somebody they hate. And that's
and the magical fairy dust.
And that's part of the magical fairy dust. And Jeffrey had said, you know, don't worry about it. Just keep doing. Just keep on going.
Keep
you
doing.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. But the big pivotal moment for me, though, was, and I'm just going to lay this out because I love my agents and I love my former agents as well. So, and I hope I'll be able to articulate this.
Take your time, because we can take all the time you need.
So I left Sutton Barth and Venari in, I think it was 2010. And I left because I was kind of in a little bit of a slump, right? I go, where's my work going? And I think as insecure actors, we kind of look and say, oh, I know for myself, my thought wasn't, my agents aren't working for me. My thought was, my agents don't like me.
I'm sure we all think that to a degree. Yes.
So it all turned around to me. I'm responsible. Oh my God, I'm not good enough. Blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I think this happens often. And so there was a sense in which you have a little bit of panic and you go, how can I save my career? How can I resurrect? How can I? And I didn't at the time have the capacity. I don't know how else to call it, but the emotional fortitude, the capacity to go in and talk to my agents about the future, about what they saw in me, about how we could put our heads together and keep this train moving,
because
right?
Because you are a commodity to them. I mean, you were booking, you'd been with them for a long time.
There
was a really strong, just to give the perspective of the agent, you know, they're earning off of what you're earning. They're earning 10% if you're union. So they're getting a piece of the action. So they want to have more action, you know?
They want you to work.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So, I, you know, my Atlas, my agency now is Atlas Talent in Los Angeles. They started in New York. They're still a very strong presence in New York, and they've moved to Los Angeles.
They've been there for a little while now, right, in Los Angeles?
Oh, just like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Not long.
Okay, not long in LA terms. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I saw that on your website.
And they're fantastic agents, and they are, I mean, they're great people. They're tenacious in the best sense, in that they are hungry and they are relationship oriented and they're great people. I think they have a lot of confidence in me. I have a lot of confidence in them. And the revelation that I had, and this is why it's so hard, because I think we tend to, if you move from one agency to another, you have this tendency to sort of think you have to put your other agents, your former agents, in a sort of like in a bad light, or in a like, they weren't really, for, you know.
Right.
And this was my epiphany, right? My epiphany was, oh, I'm the common denominator here. And there are fantastic things at SBV for me, right? And I missed it in that sense because of my own insecurity. And I happened to move to an agency where, again, fantastic things are there. And I see it now. And I sort of look back with tremendous gratitude to everybody at SBV who I feel like they sort of taught me, and they were sweet, and they let me go very sweetly. And it was kind of like just this realization that I have had the experience of having these two remarkable agencies, both of whom held gifts for me and believed in me and all of that.
Right.
But the piece in the middle of it is the realization that it's my career and that I'm responsible for the relationship that I cultivate with my agents. Did my agents at SBV have the capacity for me to go to them and cultivate? Absolutely they did. And I missed it, right? And now I'm at Atlas, where I had this revelation, and I go, okay, I'm going to go make this a team.
Right.
I sort of equate it to like the gratitude that I feel for my ex-husband. who taught me a lot. But, you know, it's somebody I'm not with anymore. But
right.
It doesn't mean that there wasn't something really wonderful to learn and grow from. And
right.
you kind of look back and go, oh, my God, I couldn't see that back then. Thank you very much for teaching me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's sort of in that light. But
hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So at the crux of it is this realization that I'm the one in control, and I have to trust my talent, and I have to trust my capacity, and I have to trust that my agents are telling me the truth by virtue of where they send me out, the kind of auditions that they give me. That is their message to me, which says, we believe in you.
Yeah.
We trust you. We trust your talent. That's why you're reading on these things. But that's my
and
big
we're talking
aha
just
moment.
To remind, yeah, that's fantastic. And thank you so much. I want to reiterate the level that we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody who has only been in the business for a couple of years and or is dealing with an agent on a small-time level. She was with one of the biggest agencies in Los Angeles, and she continues to remain with another one of the biggest agencies for voiceover, because LA and New York, they're still top-of-the-line markets for voiceover,
right.
And then Chicago would come in third, I think, and I don't know who really comes in first. So I wanted to just reiterate that to the listeners, because what you're talking about is something that happens when, you know, you're a really powerful talent.
Hmm.
We already went through that list of the types of work, the names of the brands that you have done voiceover work for, and we can imagine then the experience you have in the studio and the relationship and the trust, because it is a lot about the agent knowing that they can trust that you're going to make that agency proud and that client happy, and not only happy, but they're going to love you. So our own insecurities sometimes block us, like you're saying, from taking a step that we think is important, and hindsight is always frickin' 2020.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's really
it
important for us as voice talent to know, just like actors who do this on camera or film or whatever you want to call it, that we really need to be the directors of our career. We really need to be the captains of our ship.
Yeah. And I think, you know, to a certain degree, it doesn't matter what market you're in the sense of the necessity to build relationships and to remember that your agents are people, and that if you've got a good one, whether it's a regional agent, a national agent in a major market, a smaller market, you know, they are the people who are going to walk side by side with you, you know, in order to get work, you know, and work affects every part of your life. And so you do end up sharing your life with your agents. I think the realization that your agents are people too, you know, and they have their strengths and they have their weaknesses, and you take it all, right?
Yeah.
There ain't no perfect agent, just as there's no perfect talent to work with. But I think it applies no matter where you are, that the relationship is key, and I think being authentic about who you are is key. And if you find you can't be authentic with whatever agent you're with, well, then that might not be the agent for you.
Right.
You know, that's me. I'm a relationship-oriented person, right?
Right.
There are some great agencies around the country that I couldn't be with just because of the personality of the agency.
Right.
And there are other people who thrive there.
And that's a great point, too, because we have to understand what we need just as people to be in business, right?
Yeah.
So, great. Awesome. Fantastic. Oh, my God. What a golden nugget. Thank you. We're going to take a break. Until next time. Thanks for listening to Love That Voiceover. Lots of love to you. You sexy, beautiful, adorable person. Take care.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
GEICO makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on GEICO.com or the GEICO mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Doing anything good next week, Dallas? Anything better than traveling? Well, with Expedia's last-minute deals, you can pretty much go anywhere you want to go. Last minute for less. Like Austin, the food truck capital of the world, or New Orleans for live music all night long, or New York for everything else all night long. Get more out of your summer and spend less. Last-minute deals only from Expedia. Expedia. Travel the world better. Terms and conditions apply. See Expedia for details.